Good morning, church. Yes. We've been talking for the last weeks about the disciplines of a Christian life. And this morning, I would like to share with you some things about service. And so let's pray. Without the Holy Spirit really speaking to our hearts, my words are empty. And so let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and really be the one that communicates to us. And really, that we can hear what he wants to say to each one of us. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and move and speak into our hearts this morning, God. God, we thank you that you are the God of all truth, that you lead us to truth. And so we ask this morning, Lord, that you release your voice. And Lord, I humble myself and I said, Lord, use me to convey the message that you have in your heart for church this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, I know Nate and Kenny for 15 years. We didn't use glasses at the time. We didn't have white hair at the time, you know. We were all single. I remember them always playing basketball and with Tom. And yeah, it's been a wonderful journey, really, to be and to see how God has led this church. It's really a blessing. So, service. You know, in the world of today, especially post-pandemic, the world is training us to focus on one person. You know who that person is? Ourselves. If you look at any social media today, you are bombarded every day with posts about self-retreat, about self-care, about how to make your life the most comfortable life. And I mean, there's nothing wrong about self-care. Self-care, in fact, is one of the spiritual disciplines. But I believe, especially during this pandemic, something has blinded us to see beyond ourselves. Because we're in sort of this kind of like self-preservation mode. You know what I mean? We're in this mode of, oh, I don't want to get COVID, the mask, especially in Hong Kong, right? And so we become more and more focused on ourselves. And you know, you go on Instagram, I don't know if you guys have Instagram, but you know, you can like what you prefer. So for me, I love decorations. I love a nice house. You know, and when I think about rest, I always think about a white bed with fluffy pillows, you know? So a lot of my Instagrams are about fluffy pillows and a white bed. And I love fish. I have like 3 little aquariums in my house. And my Instagram is about looking at fish. And so this world train us every day to look for comfort. And again, there's nothing wrong with comfort. There's nothing wrong with a white, fluffy bed. Especially if you're a parent, you know, now that I foster this little baby, has controlled my life. It's amazing that such a little thing can control you so much and control your sleep. But again, are we seeing beyond ourselves? You know, and when we think about services, are you actually willing to be inconvenienced by the gospel? The gospel itself is service. The gospel of Jesus, it's service. It's not just good news, it's service. He himself gave his life for us, his sacrifice. And so when we think about service, you know, we think, oh, it's services whoever cleans the church, you know, service is the first one that raise up the hand in the roster when we, you know, our house church leaders send us, guys, we have cleaning this week. Our poor house church leaders, you know. And they're waiting for the, you know, everybody see seen message, right? Right? But who's the first one to say, hey, I clean up? We often think about service just being a physical action. But I want to suggest to you this morning that service is actually a position of our hearts to be willing to be inconvenienced by the prompt of the Holy Spirit. And so many times we are prompt to do something, but we don't. We don't do it because it's inconvenient for us. And you know, so many people ask us, Hope, how did you start this food bank that serves so many people? You know, how did you strategize and how did you plan? Honestly, we didn't. We never sit down and we never say, oh, which ministry is successful? We're going to do that. The only thing, we didn't know what to do, and we just say, we want to serve the Hong Kong people. And so we emailed a couple of charities, and we went with one of them, and we collect 30 pieces of pastries from a hotel in Wan Chai, and we went to an elderly home, and we were so excited. We served the elderly. You know, we were so excited. And I have emailed this other food bank a week prior to that. And so the next week they emailed me and they said, do you want bread? And I said, yes, because I was thinking 30 pieces of bread. So we drive with our own, it was our first car that we bought with the offerings of our staff. It was a private car. We got there, and then they gave us 900 pieces of bread. We couldn't even fit it in the car. You know, we have to open the roof and then put the bread. We're driving with. And from there, it was the beginning of what today is. Today, we handle tons of food, you know, pallets of food. Every week, we hire 9-ton lorries. But see, our intention of our food bank was never just to be this ministry that is successful. Our intention from the very beginning was to serve. And I really believe that's why God's favor is upon that. So see, again, when we position ourselves to say, I want to serve, God does something amazing. And so let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 2. And this story, I think everybody knows it. And chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, let's just read together. It says, a few days later, Jesus again entered Capernaum. The people heard that he had come home. And they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And since they could not get to Jesus, because there was a large crowd, listen to what these guys did. They made an opening through the roof, and they lower the man on a mat. I mean, guys, have you ever, I mean, we all heard that story. I read this story, you know, in Bible school when I was young. And I actually never thought about the implications of this story. So one of the things that I do for YWAM, for our organization, is I help with the YWAM International events. And the last one we had was, we were 4,000 missionaries from all over the world. And I was part of the organizing team. And you know, when you have such a large crowd, you have to be organized. Right? Because anything can go wrong. So the Bible talks about a large crowd that was listening to Jesus. So for me, honestly, if suddenly Lauren Cunningham, which is the founder of our mission, if he's preaching And I see some dudes coming and trying to interrupt him while he's preaching. I probably will call security. You know, I will probably stop them. But these guys had such perseverance to serve his friend. I mean, I have a hard time trying to imagine how will it look in Hong Kong trying to go through a roof, right? I mean, if you live in a high rise, good luck, because how can you do that? But the point is, you know, these guys wiggled through the crowd with a paralyzed man. They didn't say, hey, we didn't make an appointment. You know, Jesus is busy. Hey, let's just wait. You can wait. You've been paralyzed your whole life. I mean, one more day, you know, why? What's the big deal, right? How inconvenient. You know, how inconvenient for them. I mean, think about how inconvenient for Jesus. I mean, Jesus is preaching. I mean, imagine that suddenly I just hear some knock. I'm not Jesus. I mean, think about the owner of the house. Suddenly, there's somebody digging a hole on his roof. Maybe the wife, I don't know, serve. Usually wives, you know, they serve. They're very hospitable. Maybe she made a stage for Jesus. And then suddenly, these four guys are on the roof, and they're digging a hole. And so in this story, we see so many people were inconvenienced by service. You know, but Jesus' response is fascinating. Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm preaching, come on. When the man that had a need came to Jesus, what did he say in verse 5? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, listen to this, he didn't say, at that moment, he didn't say, you're healed. What did he say? Son, your sins are forgiven. See, Jesus is always interested in eternity. He first saw the condition of his heart. And I mean, that's the amazing thing about Jesus when you read through the Gospels, that Jesus walked in so much compassion and service. How many times was Jesus inconvenienced by people? I mean, there was this crazy woman that touched his mantle, right? Jesus was never bothered by people's needs. Are you bothered when there's a need? Here we go again. This person needs prayer. Oh, this person, you know, needs encouragement. But see, later in verse 11, it says, then Jesus met his knee. I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. So the Bible said that he took up his mat and walked out in full view of everyone. They were all amazed and praised God and said they have never seen anything like this. See, in this story, we see a need. We see a group of people that persevere. They were persistent. And then a miracle happened. But see, guys, again, service is not just about cleaning the church. God wants to empower us with his Holy Spirit to serve. And that's what really service is. It's an empowerment of the Holy Spirit when there's a need. How many of you have failed, I'm sure? When there's a need, you feel something, you have to do something, right? But most of the time we just, oh yeah, maybe not. And then we go, oh, it's inconvenient, I don't have time. I'll tell you a really funny story. I was in Mexico traveling during my discipleship training school. And we were traveling in a really old bus. You know the American buses that are like really old? And so we were traveling through Mexico, and I have no money. I have 100 Hong Kong dollars, 50 pesos. That's around 100 Hong Kong dollars at that time, 25 years ago. 27 years ago, my goodness. So we were traveling, and I have 100 Hong Kong dollars, 50 pesos, in my pocket. And at that time, we will go out door to door. In Mexico, you can do that. Well, people will open their homes, and we will pray for them, and we will share the gospel. And so we went to this house, and this old lady opened the door. And as she opened the door, we shared with her, you know, we're young kids, and we're sharing Jesus, you know, we're very passionate. And so we said, what can we pray for you? And she said, you can pray that God will provide food for me. So I thought, oh, that's a strange prayer request. So anyway, we pray, and I thought maybe she's hungry. So anyway, in my other pocket, I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That and in Waiwan, we always, it's famous. We eat peanut butter sandwiches all the time because they never go moldy. You can just eat them anywhere, right? So we just have a big peanut butter jar, a big jar of marmalade, you know. And so anyway, so I thought, oh, I have my peanut butter jelly sandwich, so I can give it to her. You know, I mean, this is like in a little town in Mexico. That lady probably had never tasted peanut butter, you know. And so anyway, we finished our prayer, and then I said, oh, here is a sandwich for you. And so she was really happy. And when I left, I have this thought, Fabi, give your money to that lady. I was like, that can be God, you know, like, I have no money. What am I going to do? So I kept walking and walking back to the bus. And this, like, urge, give your 100 Hong Kong dollars to the lady. I didn't listen. I just kept going. And finally, just before I'm going to get off in the bus, I just turn around like a toddler, you know, throwing a tantrum. So like, okay, God. I turn around and then I run back to the lady and I knock on the door and she was eating the sandwich. So I was very happy. So she was eating the sandwich and then she said, I just told her, oh, Jesus loves you. And I grabbed my 50 pesos, you know, and I put it in her hand. And then she started to cry. And then she said, thank you. I haven't eaten for 3 days, only a couple of tortillas and some Kool-Aid. So I was like, oh, you know, I'm feeling so good about myself, you know, because I just did an amazing deed of providing food for this lady, right? So I go back, I was so like, oh, I'm so spiritual, you know. I gave my sandwich first, and now I give all my money to her. And so we're going, and then I was really happy until we got to a gas station. And everybody that knows me, they know I love water. In every country, people know that I always carry a water bottle. And in DTS, I was famous for my water bottle. And so everybody get off the bus, and, you know, they go and grab snacks. And I'm sitting there thinking, I have no money, not even for water. And in Mexico, you must buy water. You cannot drink. Well, Mexico City, you can. But most people don't drink out of the faucet, you know. You have to buy water. So I was sitting there grumbling, just thinking, oh, great. Now I'm going to spend 2 months. I don't have any money. And, I mean, this was like 20 minutes before I was praising God for the good deed that I just did, you know. And so I'm grumbling, and then somebody, one of my classmates comes, and she grabs my hand, and she said, Fabi, Jesus loves you. And she put something on my hand. And as I opened my hand, it was 500 pesos. So it was 10 times more of what I have given to the lady. And I just felt so embarrassed and humiliated. You know, and I realized, guys, again, service is not about me. A service is when you listen to those prompts of the Holy Spirit and he will do a miracle. I mean, I never told anyone my struggle. I never told this lady, hey, I need 500 pesos. God knew. But see, again, service is keeping our eyes open in the middle of our busy schedule for divine appointments, to be obedient to those prompts that he brings. And so, you know, I told you another story. This is a story of a group of very, very immature Christians. You know, these Christians are having dinner with a very important person. They've been living with this person, and it was their last dinner. And so, you know, what would you do if it's the last dinner with your parents or with people you really love and respect? I mean, you would like to spend time with that person, right? Well, these Christians, really immature, you know what they were doing? They were bickering about who was the greatest. You know who those Christians are? The disciples. And very much like me. You know, they're with Jesus. They've seen Jesus do all kinds of miracles. They live with Jesus. And you know, think about this. Jesus is going to be arrested in a couple hours. He's going to be crucified 24 hours later. And what do the disciples choose to do? They bicker about who is the greatest. Of course, we see this story in Luke 9. Luke 9:46 to 48. It says that when Jesus gathered his disciples for the Last Supper, they were having trouble deciding, and an argument broke up about who was the greatest. But guys, if we discuss who's the greatest, we have to discuss also who is the least. And again, Jesus' answer is fascinating. It says in verse 47, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand behind him. And then he said to them, whoever welcomed this little child in my name, welcome me. For whoever welcomes me and the one who sent me, for it is the one who is the least among you all who will be the greatest. Why do you think Jesus used a child? Have you ever thought about that? Anybody? Why do you think he didn't use an adult? You know, as you know, Frank and I, we are fostering this baby. She was 20 days old when she came to our home. And people in my house church were shocked. I mean, they were like, are you okay? Like, Pastor Sam was like, oh, well, he's young, you know, she's young. Like, are you guys going to be okay? And we are not parents. Frank and I, we never had children. And so people were, I think, a bit like, are you guys okay, you know? And so when Frank and I heard the story of these babies, that they can spend months in the hospital, you know, I think it was Rachel or Cadence, I don't remember, that were inviting the church. And we were sitting, both of us, back there. And there was a prompt in our spirit. And later when we went to the information session, Frank and I just cried when we heard about these babies. And so said, something in us moved. The quiet prompt of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, we've been in missions. Frank has been in missions for over 30 years. We've done all kinds of outreaches. But we wanted to do something that will challenge our service. Oh my goodness. I tell you. Parents know. We live, especially myself, I live a very, very busy life. I love it. Well, this little baby came and turned our life upside down. You know? And I mean, let me tell you, service is not always easy. I'm not saying, even though I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's not just about spiritual things. I mean, at 3 a.m, when she wakes up and I look at the monitor and she's doing the legs, you know, and I'm like, oh, how to get up. And, you know, sometimes you feel like you want to lay, and she's just crying, and I want to lay down with her and cry with her because I want to go back to bed, you know. So service is not easy. But, you know, this baby, precious baby, she will not remember me and Frank. She will not remember our base people. There's nothing that she can give us back. There's nothing that she can give us in return for our service to her. And I believe that's why Jesus chose a child. To say the least. I mean, of course, if you're a parent, they give you so much joy. I love our camps because children are hilarious. You know, they tell you how it is. You know? And so, yes, children can give you joy, but there's nothing that you will, you know, my mom, when she heard about this baby, she couldn't understand, because in Mexico we don't have fostering. And she said, well, what's the benefit? I said, Mom, there's no benefit. So, well, why are you doing it? I said, well, you know, to serve. I mean, later now she loves a little bit. And she said it's her Chinese granddaughter. But see, service is not easy. So I'm not saying, oh, it's so easy and the Holy Spirit. Yes. But again, it's positioning yourself for those prompts, to be available for those prompts of the Holy Spirit. In simple, service is simple assistance to what it looks like trivial matters. You know, service is the discipline of many little deeds of doing beyond ourselves, expressed in practical life. You know, guys, friends, God wants to use you and me. From the beginning of our existence, God wants to use you and me to be a blessing. Whether it is with a prayer, whether it is with your finances, whether it is with a word of encouragement. And you know, sometimes we serve with the wrong motivation. There's two types of service. Self-righteous service. And this service, you know how it looks like? It comes from a human effort. So you will burn out. It requires an external reward. It's calculative. It desires recognition. So when you come and you clean or you serve, you're waiting for the pastors to say, wow, you're such a servant. It's concerned to make an impressive gain. It's highly concerned about results. And pick and choose who to serve. You know, maybe serving the greatest, the famous, serving Lauren Cunningham, for example. So many people want to serve him because he is our founder of the biggest missions organization in the world. But are we willing to serve the ones that are the least? You know, guys, the people that we serve, they cannot give us anything in return. And sometimes it's hard because they quarrel about the sweet potato. It's this much bigger than the other one, and they quarrel. They curse us sometimes, even though we're giving them food. Service is not easy. But again, when we are willing, just like those four men, are you guys willing to allow yourselves to be used by the Holy Spirit so a miracle take place? You know, true service is divine, it's prompted by the Holy Spirit. Even our initiative of Shine was prompted by what we saw. The other base leader and I saw this lady at the market, and she was carrying a baby. And we were to the gym, and we work out, and then we went out to shopping. And then like 4 hours later, she was still carrying this baby. And we felt so sad for that baby. And we were wondering, has that baby come down and play? But he can, because she's selling vegetables. So who's going to take care of this toddler? How does this affect his development? And, later we saw she's collecting cardboard. So guys, the prompts of the Holy Spirit will lead us to minister to people. And maybe you feel afraid. But God wants to use us. God wants us to be his mouth, his feet, to go, to pray for those that are sick. True service finds it hard to distinguish between the small, trivial matters and the large ones. It's drawn even to the smallest service. Does not discriminate. Oh, well, you're not famous, so I'm not going to serve you. True service is a lifestyle. It's when your house church leader sends the message of the rotation for refreshments, and that's just very simple, right? And we all can relate. And you're the first one to say, I'll do it. You don't go to your phone. Okay, what is that? Oh, no, it's very early. Oh, let's take the 9 o'clock one because that's the easiest, Yeah, I mean, so service, again, it looks for, it sees every need as an opportunity, welcomes opportunities to serve. How many of you guys would like to be humble? I believe all of us, right? Right? All of us would like to be humble. But there's something about humility. You cannot seek humility, Yeah, and also humility is not just going to fall on your head and then suddenly you are humble. That's the funny thing about this virtue. And so therefore we assume that there's nothing we can do to gain humility. Of all the classical spiritual disciplines, service is the most conducive to the growth of humility. When we set out on a consciously chosen course of action that ascends the good of others and is for the most part a hidden work, a deep change occurs in our spirits. You want to be humble? Serve. And you said, Fabi, but you're a missionary. Of course you serve. No. Service can be done by anyone. And it's one of those spiritual disciplines that will actually make our spirits stronger. So you want to be spiritual? Serve. And you might think, well, people are going to take advantage of me. How many of us have thought that? Well, if I serve, then nobody else serves. But see, right there's something. Choosing to serve and choosing to be a servant. When we choose to serve, we're still in charge. We decide who and when. We might have a hidden agenda. But again, do we allow ourselves to be willing for the Holy Spirit to prompt us? You know, when we choose to be servants, we give up the right to be in charge. And you know, there's something beautiful about service. Service has ripples through our community. I'm sure you can recognize who is the person that serves in this community. I can tell you, but that person will be very embarrassed, so I will not tell you. Because in the Asian culture, right? It's a lifestyle. It's not difficult to serve when we make it our lifestyle. You know, there are simple ways. Let's just go very practical in how to serve. You know, there's a service of courtesy. What do you mean by that? How many of you guys use WhatsApp? I mean, we're in Hong Kong, right? And in Hong Kong, if you don't answer a WhatsApp in 15 minutes, you might have had an accident, right? Like something deadly has happened to you. You know, I was talking to my friend, she's from Singapore, and I think it's very similar. And she said, I sent a message to this guy, and he didn't answer me. I said, how long ago? An hour ago. And I said, he's in Norway. He's sleeping. He's like, oh, yeah. But I sent him an email. When? Yesterday. And I told her, he's in Norway. He's in... Our society today, especially in this part of the world, you know, we're so, so, I will say, attached to non-social communication. And you know, the service of courtesy means, instead of saying, sounds good, you know, sometimes instead of saying, sounds good, you go, the emoji, right? I mean, the least effort you can do with your phone, the best, right? Or instead of saying, I'm praying for you, you just put the hands emoji, right? Right? So, I mean, I tell this to our staff. I'm like, guys, if somebody texts you, please text back and say thank you. And say please. I mean, something funny with WhatsApp. You know, you're in the middle of a conversation and then, you know, you can see the person left. Right? I mean, you will never do that. If we're talking, you don't say, okay, bye, you know? No, I mean, you're engaged, right? So I often tell our staff, don't just ghost me on WhatsApp, you know? Like, because they just leave, and then they answer like 20 minutes later. You know, my niece, she's young, 20 years younger than me, and she's like, answer me. It's just, this generation is like, oh, I'll get to it later, right? I mean, I am guilty of that as well. But again, guys, the courtesy, the service of courtesy. There's something beautiful about saying thank you. There's something beautiful to say how are you and you mean it. You know, Frank and I, when we travel to the States and you go to a restaurant and the lady's so friendly. Hi, how are you guys? How you doing? And you're like, oh, I'm doing great. Great. What's your order? Like, just like, oh, and you feel like, oh okay. Like, you know, how can I help you today? It's an acknowledgement of your presence. It's not really how are you, right? But we are like that, guys. We become sometimes less and less genuine in our concern for people. You know, the service of prayer. This is a very, very powerful service. I was on an outreach, and we were going to Shatin to a school to do a program. And as we were praying on the bus to the outreach, I got this word, again, a prompt of the Holy Spirit, you will meet someone and you need to tell this person, I am the life, leave. I was like, okay. You know, so we go there and I'm wearing my really cute costume to do a drama. And this girl, her name was Cherry, came straight to me. I don't know why. She says, you look so cute. I was wearing this makeup, you know, with red cheeks. And so we did our drama and our program. And she came back afterwards and she said, oh, it was so good. And then I just told her, hey, do you want me to pray for you? She said, no, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in your God, actually. She said, I believe in myself. I said, okay. And so we kept talking, and then I said, well, do you want my God to speak to you? She looked at me like, huh? And I said, yeah, you know, God, Jesus, can speak to you. He speaks Cantonese. Her eyes like, really? Yeah. I said, all right. And now I'm like, oh my goodness, God, if you don't speak, you know. So we're in the middle of this basketball court, and so I said, close your eyes. I don't know why we close our eyes. I guess for focus or something. But anyway, we close our eyes, and I'm like deep inside of me, like, God, please speak, speak, speak. You know, God. And then suddenly she opened her eyes, and she's crying. And I don't know what to do. I'm like, oh, what did Jesus tell you? I was concerned, you know. And then she said, your God told me I am the life. Leave. And she said, Fabi, tonight I was going to go home and I was going to jump out of my building and I was going to end my life. And today your God told me to leave. Your God is real. See, guys, God is so interested in using our lives to impact others. A simple prayer for someone can change their life forever. Are we too busy to listen to those prompts of the Holy Spirit? The Bible said, bear your burdens with one another. Do you send a message to those that are sick? Do you pray for them? Do you encourage them? Simple acts of service. But again, guys, is this willingness to be Allah available for the Holy Spirit to do? And so my question to you this morning to finish, are you available? Are you willing to be inconvenienced by the gospel? Are you willing that when God prompts something in you to do, that there's a need? Are you willing to say, God, I'm stepping out so he can do miracles? And he will. If you go through the gospel every single time, when this little kid, remember the multiplication of the fish and bread? I mean, think about, guys, this is 5,000 people. This is a whole stadium, right? The Queen Mary's Stadium, right? And now Jesus said, oh, you feed them. What will you do? I'll freak out. I mean, I'll go to Café de Corral and, I don't know, get something. I have no idea, right? But, I mean, this, you need to feed 5,000 people. And they said, actually, there were more. And Jesus just easily said, feed them. And what happens? There's this little boy, right? He said, I have this fish and bread. He was willing. He stepped out. And then a miracle took place. So, guys, I want to ask the worship team to come up, and I just want us to pray this morning. Are we willing to be inconvenienced by the gospel? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to serve church, to serve those in need. It's easy maybe to go on an outreach and you schedule that in your schedule, but are you willing to open your eyes in your daily life to be inconvenienced by the prompts of the Holy Spirit? And so let's just close our eyes and let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. How to serve. And we want to enter that place where your Holy Spirit is so clear to us that we are ready to serve you. That no matter how big or how small the task is, that we're willing to listen to you. Sitting there this morning and you feel you want to be more sensitive to his voice in regards to service, I'll just encourage you to stand up and let's pray together. There in your chair, just stand up and let's pray. Let's ask God to empower us. God, make us sensitive to your voice. Make us sensitive to those prompts of your Holy Spirit, so we can impact this community, so we can impact this city, so we can impact the world. Teach us, Lord. Teach us how to serve you. Thank you, Lord. As we, even as we go on today in our day, that you remind us of people, of simple acts that we can do to serve others. Maybe it's sending a text, maybe it's sending a word of encouragement, maybe it's praying for someone, maybe it's listening to someone, maybe it's giving to someone. God, we want to make ourselves available this morning to you. Thank you, Lord, that you want to use us, that you desire to use us to bring impact to the world, God. Thank you for partnering with us, God. We invite you, Lord, to use us.
You are the God of of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary. Embrace the ones in need. I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. Oh, kneel me down again here at your feet. Show heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King.
You're the God of the broken.
You are the God of the broken, the friend of the the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the heart.
To speak into one thing. I thought that maybe some of us hear a message like this and instead of feeling encouraged or excited, we could feel a burden even more. Like, oh man, now I gotta go and serve and I already feel so tired. I already feel like I don't have enough time. I don't have the capacity. You know, we often say that I don't have the bandwidth to do something else. And I just felt that God was kind of saying through the disciplines, you know, that they all work together. So if we just try to serve and that's all we feel, you know, are trying to do because we just feel like we have to do it, then I think we could run into that problem of just feeling like, oh, I'm so tired and I'm burning out or I just don't have anything to give. But it's the other disciplines of solitude and meditation and studying the Word of God. Hope that that's not a burden, because when we do that, man, we're going to be filled, you know? Like, I think if we just try to fill our void and feeling tired through Netflix or YouTube and just escaping these things, man, we're never going to be filled. And then it's just going to be, I'm so tired, I don't have the capacity. But when we can, by the grace of God, turn away from those things. I'm sharing this because I feel this way. I just feel like, man, over the past few weeks, I've been turning things off a little more and turning to God a little more. And I just feel so much more life in me, you know, to be able to give and pray and serve. So I just want to encourage us. You know, they work together. And if we can turn some things off so that we can go to the true source of our life and rest, then we'll have the bandwidth that we need, you know, to be able to serve. And it's kind of this whole holistic deepening of our spiritual walk, you know, and holistic transformation maybe of our lives, you know, that we get to really live in such a way that God has created us to live. And thank you, God, that I know that when we serve God and we inconvenience ourselves, just as you gave back 500 pesos to Fabi, God, for us, it's probably not money. For many of us in Hong Kong, God, it's not the money that we're such a sacrifice, but our time feels like a huge sacrifice. Our mental energy, emotional energy feels like a sacrifice. And I believe that you will do the same, God. Somehow you're a limitless God, and you're going to give back the time, the energy, the mental energy, the emotional energy. And I pray that we'll be able to walk in all the disciplines, Lord, so that we can be whole. God, I just am so excited, God, for the kind of life that we can have in you if we can practice some of these things, God, you're calling us into. Thank you, Lord, thank you. I just want to pray the benediction for our church. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you shalom, peace, from this day forward. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen, amen. Thank you. Let's give Fabi a big hand. Let's give Jesus a big hand. Thank you, Fabi. Hope you have a good Sunday. And we'll see you guys next week. God bless. Bye-bye. Speak into one thing. I thought that maybe some of us hear a message like this, and instead of feeling encouraged or excited, we could feel a burden even more. Like, oh man, now I gotta go and serve, and I already feel so tired. I already feel like I don't have enough time. I don't have the capacity. You know, we often say that I don't have the bandwidth to do something else. And I just felt that God was kind of saying through the disciplines, you know, that they all work together. So if we just try to serve and that's all we feel, you know, are trying to do because we just feel like we have to do it, then I think we could run into that problem of just feeling like, oh, I'm so tired and I'm burning out, or I just don't have anything to give. But it's the other disciplines of solitude and meditation and studying the Word of God. Hope that that's not a burden, because when we do that, man, we're going to be filled, you know? Like, I think if we just try to fill our void and feeling tired through Netflix or YouTube and just escaping these things, and we're never going to be filled. And then it's just going to be, I'm so tired, I don't have the capacity. But when we can, by the grace of God, turn away from those things. I'm sharing this because I feel this way. I just feel like, man, over the past few weeks, I've been turning things off a little more and turning to God a little more. And I just feel so much more life in me, you know, to be able to give and pray and serve. So I just want to encourage us. You know, they work together. And if we can turn some things off so that we can go to the true source of our life and rest, then we'll have the bandwidth that we need, you know, to be able to serve. And it's kind of this whole holistic deepening of our spiritual walk, you know, and holistic transformation maybe of our lives, you know, that we get to really live in such a way that God has created us to live. And thank you, God, that I know that when we serve God and we inconvenience ourselves, just as you gave back 500 pesos to Fabi, God, for us, it's probably not money. For many of us in Hong Kong, God, it's not the money that we're such a sacrifice, but our time feels like a huge sacrifice. Our mental energy, emotional energy feels like a sacrifice. And I believe that you will do the same, God. Somehow you're a limitless God, and you're going to give back the time, the energy, the mental energy, the emotional energy. And I pray that we'll be able to walk in all the disciplines, Lord, so that we can be whole. God, I just am so excited, God, for the kind of life that we can have in you if we can practice some of these things, God, you're calling us into. Thank you, Lord, thank you. I just want to pray the benediction for our church. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you shalom, peace, from this day forward. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's give Fabi a big hand. Let's give Jesus a big hand. Thank you, Fabi. I hope you have a good Sunday. We'll see you guys next week. God bless. Bye-bye.